see myself. Yikes. Okay.
Welcome. Today is Thursday, December 5th.
Oh, it is on. Okay, there we go. Just a little closer.
Welcome. Today is Thursday, December 5th, 5:30 p.m. We're in the Veterans Hall. This is the December meeting for the Harbor Advisory Board. And with that, we will establish a quorum and call to order. We'll start with a roll call. Member Green?
Here.
Member Hanson?
Here.
Member O'Brien?
Here.
Member Dowdy?
Here.
Member Motowski is not present, nor is member... Well, that's it. Vail, yes. With that, call to order. Next up is we'll have a moment of silence. Just this time of year, with all the holiday seasons, I want to look, reach out and think of all of our friends and family, and for the fortunate ones, and of course for the less fortunate ones around the world. With that, a moment of silence. All right, next up, Pledge of Allegiance. I'm going to pick on Harbor Supervisor Kelly to lead us off with the Pledge of Allegiance since she's not here that often.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, the Republic from which it stands, God, indivisible, for all.
Thank you. With that, we'll start with the advisory board member, the liaison programs public outreach. I'll start with Member Dowdy.
Yeah, good evening. Besides the tide going in and going back out, this year in December, I'm seeing lots of anchovies in the bay. Normally, anchovies show up in May, June, something like that. But I'm seeing schools of anchovies in the bay now, which is interesting. I don't know why. And then, as you may know, I represent the South Bay area, Los Osos, Baywood Park, crested by the sea area. And every evening, I drive home on the lower State Park Road, and I like to look out over the marsh plants and the what's for birds and things. This year, the pickleweed is turning red, much redder than I've ever seen before. It's almost purple. I don't know why. And then on the final note, winter is on this here. You guys, if you have boats out there in the bay, make sure the pennant lines are good. You know, your cleats are good, all that kind of stuff, because last year it got a little rough. Okay.
All right. Thank you. Member O'Brien?
Yeah. Thank you, Cal. I was just asked a question, and I don't think I mentioned this before at a meeting this year, but somebody asked me how the albacore season was up north. So a lot of our guys participate in it, and it was good. It was a good season. It was not looking good at the start. The prices were down, and the market was weak. Buyers weren't jumping to buy any fish, but they did. And that eventually turned out to be a real good season. Unfortunately, we have a no start on our crab season, and so the crab season has not opened. I hope it will open around the first of the year. And so lately, locally, black cod and a few rock cod have been showing up, and there's been some halibut, some really, really nice halibut showing up. And that's about it.
All right, thank you. Member Hanson.
Hello. I just wanted to mention for the chamber, one of my outreach is that they are doing a movie at the Morro Bay Theater on December 9th at 5:30. It's a wonderful time to join some family and have some popcorn to go and watch It's a Wonderful Life on the big screen. So that's at 5:30 on December 9th at the Bay Theater. And tickets you can get through the chamber or from Jody and Lindsay that are staff at the chamber. And I just wanted to wish everybody a happy and safe holiday season.
All right, thank you. Member Green?
A couple items. First off, with Cal Poly, this is, comes up every month, but there's a little bit more progress each time. The merger is complete with Cal Maritime, and Cal Poly Solano campus is now Cal Maritime Academy is now the Cal Poly Solano campus, and their systems are going to be completely integrated moving forward. A degree from Cal Maritime is a degree from Cal Poly moving forward. The Cal Poly as a whole is converting to the semester system off of their current quarter system. That change takes place in fall of 2026. And then beginning in summer of 2027, it's been delayed a little bit, but beginning summer of 2027 is when they will officially commence their year-round operations. And that allows an increase in enrollment without a ton of extra infrastructure, in part because incoming freshmen will be some, if not all, incoming freshmen will be beginning in the summer term, the full summer semester as their first term, and they will have two summer terms over their college career and agree to have two semesters off of campus where they complete some of their studies or an internship or something else. That basically just allows the campus to maximize their facilities and increase enrollment potentially down the road. I think that's all I have. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Member Green. So I actually have something this time. Usually I don't have a lot of outreach, but I'm super excited to let folks know that for the Friends of the Morro Bay Harbor Department, I'm going to be taking over for Bill LaFay. He's stepping back due to his change of roles on the city council. So he's handing me the reins to that. I'm not quite sure what I'm signed up for, but we've got some initial things, membership drives and all the other nonprofit stuffs. We're actually selling a couple kayaks that were donated to the organization. You can get those up on Craigslist, and a very beautiful canoe. Almost, as we said, too nice for the water. But I was all of a sudden looking at my checking account when I was looking at them. So those will get posted here in the next week or so. So pretty excited about that. And it's sort of a built-in thing for me to announce at future Harbor Advisory Board meetings. With that, we'll go ahead and close out. Oh, yes. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I want to give congratulations to Bill and Jeff on their landslide victories.
Second to none. All right. With that, next on the agenda is that we have a presentation from the upcoming Bird Festival. Robbie, who's the executive director there, has a short presentation we'll go through. So if you guys want to jump up to the podium.
Good evening. My name's Bob Rebel, and Robbie, our executive director, has appointed me to do this. She's my boss. So anyway, thank you very much to the board for letting us come and talk a little bit tonight about the Bird Festival and show you a couple of slides about what's going on. The Morro Bay Bird Festival started in 1994. It was started by a group of organizations, including Morro Bay Tourism at the time, which is way different, I'm sure, than it is today, and also the local Audubon chapter, state parks, a whole bunch of our different organizations started it, like I said, in 94. And we continued, we operated under Morro Coast Audubon up until the pandemic, when we had 2 years where we were shut down. And when we came back in 2023, we requested that we break away and start our own organization, and we did. So we used to be known as the Morro Bay Winter Bird Festival, and now we are known as the Morro Bay Bird Festival. So we rebranded ourselves, have a new logo, and we're off and running. We've got 2 years under our belt, and this year is going to be bigger and better than any of the past 2 years or any of the other festivals. So what's the big deal with birding? A lot of people kind of wonder, why do all these people come to Morro Bay just to look at birds? This is some information that was put together by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife in 2023, and they did a survey, and it showed that 96 million Americans do something observing or photographing birds, and that's about one out of every three people in this country. They also found that about half those people admitted that they had gotten in their car and driven at least 1 mile to go look at a bird. And then another interesting statistic is that these same people, we call ourselves birders, spent about $25 billion in 2023 on equipment, either cameras or binoculars and scopes and things like that, bird feeders. A lot of it happened during the pandemic, ironically. People were working from home, looked out the window and said, what the heck is that in my backyard? And they went and bought a pair of binoculars and got a bird feeder. So the companies that were worried about going out of business did quite well during the pandemic, bird-associated businesses. What makes the Morro Bay Bird Festival so special? Number one, we're the largest ecotourism event on the coast, and our goals are to celebrate the diversity of the area, to show people from that don't live here what a beautiful place we live in. And also a chance to look at the birds, and also we provide a financial boost to the local economy, and I'll talk about that in a minute. Why is Morro Bay so special? During the winter time, we have about 200 species of birds that live here. Some of those stay here all year long, and a lot of them are residents just during the winter. Every year around Christmas, in fact, it's a week from tomorrow, we'll be doing what's called a Christmas bird count. And when we do that, we'll see around 200 different species of birds in one day. And when we submit our results to the organization that keeps track of all this, Morro Bay always comes in the top five. So we're one of the most diverse areas in terms of having birds that people want to come and see. I want to show you a little bit about how this works. The migratory birds spend their spring and early summer up in the Arctic areas, and when it starts turning cool, they decide we better go somewhere that's a little bit nicer than this. And what I've shown here, what we call the Pacific Flyway, there's like a major freeway down the West Coast where these birds migrate, and some of them actually fly as far south as the tip of South America. So they raise their young in the Arctic area, and they turn around and go all the way down to the tip of South America. Some of them fly over Morro Bay, look down, and say, hey, this is a pretty cool place. Why don't we just stop here? And it won't be so much work. And that's the beauty of our area, is that they do come here and spend a winter with us. For our festival this year, we normally have what we call a keynote speaker come every year. This is somebody who's big in the birding world, and this year we actually have three people coming. The first I want to highlight is David Lindo. He's known as the urban birder in the UK. He actually lives in Spain. He's coming to us through London. We also have Ken Kaufman. Ken has written numerous books is a speaker, author, just very top name in the birding world. And we also have Rebecca Heisman coming to us from Walla Walla, Washington. She writes great scientific articles, and she has a book out called Flight Paths. So these are our three VIPs for this year. Where does the Bird Festival go? Well, we are based in Morro Bay at the Morro Bay Community Center. We go as far north as the Piedras Blancas Lighthouse, the Elephant Seal Rookery, and we go east out to the Kern National Wildlife Refuge and also into the Carrizo Plain. And then down south, we go down to Oso Flaco, and I'm going to talk about it in a minute. We also go right out of Morro Bay and 20 to 30 miles offshore. There are a lot of birds that live out in the ocean that never come ashore, and people want to go see those birds. And we do every place in between. As I said, we are based out of the community center, so most of our trips go out of here, but we do try to get it all over the county. What do we offer? Well, number one, we offer field excursions. This is a chance for people to go with an expert leader and look at birds. We do bay cruises, and you can see here on the left, I think we're on Captain Stu's boat, and over on the right, we're on the Dos Osos out of Subsea Tours. And I know this is probably hard for you guys to read, but I did want to throw up and illustrate. Out of Subsea Tours, we have three trips going each day, except for Monday, which is a single trip. And out of Morro Bay Landing, we have one, two, three, four, five, six trips going out on Captain Stu's boat. But we also have listed down there the three pelagic trips that are going out. Two of these are full-day trips, and one is a half-day trip. And those, like I said, they're very, very popular trips. We also have bus trips. We contract with a local company to provide transportation. And this is where we go to someplace like the Carrizo Plain, and we don't want to have 12 or 15 people driving their own cars. They all go in a bus like this. And this particular group here, they're headed out to go owling, to look at owls at night. We have classroom presentations, obviously, by experts in their field. Kayak trips, we run out of Central Coast Outdoors, provide the kayaks, and we also have biking trips. And the group on the right is doing what we call a big day, where they go out and see as many birds as they can in one day. This time they're going by bike around the area. We also have an event on Saturday that's called Family Day, and this is an event that's open to the public, and it's to encourage and bring young children in. We have all kinds of projects going on. We will not have the popcorn machine this year. We had it last year at the community center, and it took about 3 days to get all the popcorn up. So we're going to skip that this year. We do have a vendor bazaar that will open, I believe, on Friday. And that is filled with exhibitors. We have five of the top optics companies coming, like Nikon and Zeiss and Opticron, with binoculars and telescopes to sell. We also have local artists who will be there selling their wares. And we also provide the opportunity for nonprofits like Pacific Wildlife Care to have a booth where they can tell people and about their projects and hopefully raise money for their new center. And this is a real popular event. It's open on opens on Friday and stays open, I believe, through Sunday. And again, this is also open to the public. Here's an update on our festival. Registration for our festival opened just about a month ago on Saturday, November the 2nd. And we currently have 792 people who are registered to come. We have over 100 leaders that aren't registered yet, and we have over 100 volunteers that aren't registered yet. We register them for free. So once we register those, we're going to be easily over 1,000 people who will be registered to attend this event. One thing I forgot to point out earlier is that we have a committee of about 30 people, and around 100, I think we're going to have 180 volunteers, and we have 142 leaders. Everybody's a volunteer. Everybody. We have no paid employees. Like I said, we anticipated attendance is 1,000. And another important part that I gave in the presentation to the tourism group is that 72% of the people who are currently registered live outside the 934 zip code. And this means they need a place to stay at night, they need food to eat, they can't go home. They're too far from home. So this is a great boost to the local economy. This is a chart, map, I should say, that shows the states that we currently have represented, 22 states. All of those in the top row, from going from Montana all the way over to New Hampshire or Vermont, can't wait to get to Morro Bay in January, guaranteed. They're looking forward to being here. Financial considerations. Just wanted to let you know a little bit about how we operate. Our budget for this year is around $250,000 income, and the majority of that comes from registration fees, although we have gotten some very good grants from local organizations, including the Tourism Board, and we really appreciate that. We estimate our expenses will be around $225,000, and about 85% of that 225, or roughly 200,000, will go directly back into businesses in Morro Bay for housing for our leaders, renting boats, renting buses, printing, those kinds of things. We did an estimate based on a survey that was done last year after the festival, and these numbers represent what our attendees will spend in addition to coming here for lodging, meals, Morro Bay t-shirts, et cetera, and we estimate that at around $725,000. So we've got a total of just over $900,000 that we think will come into the local economy because of the Bird Festival. And I'm just going to pop through these real quick. These are some of the local businesses that are sponsoring us this year and either offering hotel discounts or actually acting as a sponsor, which we really truly appreciate. And the next slide, a lot of stuff here, but it's a listing of the local businesses that have agreed to welcome our guests and possibly offer a discount. They're going to have something in the window saying we support the Morro Bay Bird Festival. And I didn't mention earlier that our theme is we're outstanding birding meets small town hospitality. World class birding meets small town hospitality. And that's what we're demonstrating here, small town hospitality. Okay, so in summary, it's a 5-day festival, and we're estimating 800 to 1,000. Well, that slide needs to be changed because we're 1,000 right now, and a $900,000 boost to the economy. And then lastly, I'm just going to throw up real quick the real VIPs of the festival and the real reason that people come are the birds that we have here. This is an osprey headed home for lunch. He has his own lunch with him, you can see. A great egret. All these pictures, by the way, were taken by great photographers who are going to be at our festival. So Wilson's warbler, buffleheads. These are grebes that we won't see dancing like this, but we have them here, western grebes. Those are actually Clark's grebes. Northern flicker. And our black oyster catcher that we have on the rocks out here. So that's in summary. January 16th to 20th, you're all welcome to come and come by on Friday. We're going to have a grand opening at noon, and you're welcome to come and join us. And that's our presentation, unless there are any questions.
All right, thank you. Any questions?
That's wonderful. No. Thank you so much.
Here, go ahead, Member Green.
I actually have a question. When I was on TBID, we always appreciated you guys as just a rock star event, multi-day event, off-season event, just one of the best, if not the best, regular occurring events here in the city. So we appreciate you guys so much. In terms of what the city does for you or could do for you, not just for your festival, but others potentially in the future, are there certain amenities that we have and you absolutely use to the max, or that in some way we as a city or we as a harbor or council or whoever can sort of meet you halfway a little bit more than we do?
I think we're in good shape on that. Robbie's handling that, most of the logistics and planning, and we're getting great cooperation. In the past, we've had great cooperation putting up signs around the city. This year, we have a big banner we're going to put in the city park. We have no complaints. No complaints.
What about the facility? Well, in the facilities like our community center.
Robbie, could you turn the microphone?
Up here.
Sure. This one. The Chamber of Commerce has been extremely helpful getting us started. And so thank you, Charisse, for all the help we've gotten. And the community center is does not have enough meeting facilities to meet now how we have grown. So what we have had to do, or what we are doing, is we are using various hotels that have offered their meeting rooms. So the meeting rooms at the Hampton are being used and offered to us. the meeting rooms in Baywood. Baywood has a new, the hotel is not new, but they've built a new facility, and they have two rooms that they're providing to us on a daily basis as supporters, and so does Sea Pines. So our only issue really is looking for additional meeting spaces. I will say that we always get comments from our participants that the facilities within the parks, the bathrooms, the trail maintenance, all that is excellent. So we're really happy with that. And we just hope that some of you will join us. Maybe we'll do a special bird walk for all the city council and the Chamber of Commerce. Of course, there are birders among all of you. So I already heard this gentleman say, looks at the birds going across the bay. So that really is all. We appreciate any support that anyone can give us. And what we're doing is we're actively also seeking monies from those optics companies, the County Board of Supervisors, but we are bringing money in too. We're asking for that support for people that we already, you know, support ourselves, like the limousine company here in Morro Bay and other. So we are actively trying to keep building that support because we want to keep bringing in top speakers so that those people on the East Coast and those other states will come to Morro Bay and they will want to come back. So, and of course, the harbor is awesome. So we appreciate all the facilities there as well.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. That concludes the Bird Festival presentation. Again, we really appreciate your time. And with that, we'll move on to public comment. As a reminder, public comment is for items that aren't on the menu or for folks that can't stay. Please come on up to the mic.
Thank you, Chair and Board. As you've already mentioned, Cal, I am Bill LaFay. Currently, I will be sworn in next Tuesday, December 10th. So I do need to step down from the Friends, not that I would feel there would be a conflict of interest considering the fact I raised money, but I think it's about time to pass the torch, and I'm really happy to give that to Cal and his wife, and I think they'll actually embrace the Friends. But what I really wanted to say tonight is, as we celebrated as a significant milestone, a decade of dedicated service, and we have raised approximately $300,000 to support the harbor's critical needs. What began as a vision to fill the funding void left by the power plant withdrawal has blossomed into a decade of impactful community action. We are immensely grateful for the support and look forward to continuing our work with renewed vigor. So with that, I just want to thank the community. I have letters of donations and support going out, and we'll be doing an email blast shortly. So hopefully you can continue to support the Friends. There is a lot of unfunded necessities that we're going to be hopefully funding in the next 10 years. But the one thing I also wanted to say is that wasn't discussed is started today was the World Surf League Championships. I was out there later this afternoon. It was a little blown out, but this morning's surf was great. It's the Slow Cal Open, and from what I understand, and Becca, you might want to chime in, these are professional surfers. The people that qualify and I guess win the contest will be part of the World Surf League. So come on out. It starts at 7:30 to about 2:30. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The surf is really good right now, so come on out to the Rock and see what Morro Bay is all about, which is surfing. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. LaFay. Anybody else in the audience? All right. AGP, is there anybody with their hand raised on the call?
No one has raised their hand.
All right, thank you. With that, we'll move to the consent calendar. We have A1, A2, the staff's report, the minutes from October. Quick question, Lori. The minutes on the first page say October, but the ones in the deck say August. Is that a typo or did I misread it? And on the page it said August, but maybe I read it wrong.
You read it correctly. It's August.
Okay. No big deal. Can I get a motion to approve the...
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes as described.
A second?
I want to pull one item on
A2. Okay.
But the minutes are okay.
I'll second.
Second. So we'll just pull A2, we'll approve A1.
Yeah.
Looking for you, Lori. Is that doing that right? All right. We'll approve A1 and we'll pull A2. All approve. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right.
So just to be clear, the minutes are correct. They're August minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. So the minutes are correct. That this agenda has a small minor typo, no big deal. You had a comment on A2?
Yeah, a quick question. Maybe staff can answer this. I see on the council activity for October 8th, it says that council provided staff general direction to refine an RFP in a new solicitation process for the development of Market Plaza and to bring back to council. Is there any harbor involvement at all, or is that everything just east of Embarcadero?
Yeah, harbor wasn't involved in that. So I can't speak to it.
It was just a point of clarification. I think it's all everything east. I don't think it's Tideland's property, but I just
right.
wanted to
correct
put that out there. Okay, that's all I had.
All right, we'll move on to if there's no other questions about that, we'll go ahead and move on to business. First business item, I'd like to bring up the Chief Dan McCrane. I think he had a few comments you'd like to make.
Yeah, good evening, advisory board members. I just wanted to first take a moment and thank you all for your support. It's been my pleasure to fill in as the interim harbor director for the last 5 months or so. It's an excellent team, and it's been just a privilege working with them. And I wanted to take this opportunity to introduce to you Chris Munson, the new harbor vitality director. Handing over the reins to him, I'll still be working with him to kind of help keep some projects that we were working on moving, and just as a resource. And here for any questions, but just wanted to take that opportunity to introduce the new director to you.
All right, thank you. While you're at the mic, could you spend a minute or two, I know at the council meeting they talked about changing the structure of the Harbor Advisory Board and how that's gonna work over the next 2 years?
Absolutely, let me pull up the staff report here real quick.
You knew you were going to be put on the spot on this one, so.
So at the last council meeting, council did vote to reduce the number of members on the Harbor Advisory Board from 7 down to 5, and it'll be a phased-in approach over the next 2 years as seats expire, so there wouldn't be two that get cut this year. For 2026, there will be one member-at-large seat that is removed. And then starting in 2027, there will be one seat that is the Los Osos representative that would be removed. But those would be, as those term out, they just won't be filled. So for 2025, there will be six members. And then starting 2026 through 2027, there would be down to 5.
I know during the council meeting there was some animated discussion about the rationale for that. If you could just summarize that real quickly of why that decision was made.
Yeah, so there was a couple different talking points. One of them was just recruitment issues through all the different advisory bodies, and some of it was standardization amongst the advisory bodies, getting them all to 5 and keeping that the same, especially as they're looking at upgrading council chambers and things, having set number of seats for each member. Making sure that the advisory bodies match the council having the same number so they can put appropriate equipment in. There were multiple facets to that, but that was the crux of the discussion.
All right, thank you. Any questions for Chief McCrane?
Yeah, I a couple follow-up questions to that. In terms of standardization and trying to get all the advisory boards sort of on the same page, All other advisory boards have only at-large positions. Is it still the case that ours has specified interest positions?
Yes. Give me just a second. I'll pull it back up so I can speak to exactly which ones. There's going to be, the commercial fisherman representative and alternate marine-oriented business, one member at large, and one waterfront leaseholder representative will be the positions.
And a follow-up to that, during the council meeting, Mayor Wixom mentioned that that perhaps those designations were suggestions rather than hard-coded mandates. Is that and it was not really fully fleshed out. Does that mean that a random citizen can apply for any one of the five available positions, or does a waterfront master leaseholder have to be a waterfront master leaseholder?
My understanding is a waterfront leaseholder would have to be in that seat, as well as somebody affiliated with the commercial fisherman would have to fill the commercial fisherman's seat. I'll try to provide more clarity on that, but that's my understanding based on the discussion.
Okay, so based on your understanding, I just think this is an important point of clarification that as it currently stands under the new iteration, there's one out of five members that is an at-large resident of the city that doesn't have direct interest in the waterfront.
Correct.
Okay.
If you have other clarification.
And doesn't need to be a resident of Morro Bay. So four members would need to be residents of Morro Bay, and the member at large can be Los Osos or...
Member Hanson, any comments?
Just one clarity thing. You mentioned master leaseholder. It doesn't apply to just master leaseholders, just leaseholders in general. So they could be a sublease tenant. So it widens the pool of people, of businesses affected on the Embarcadero.
And a point of clarification on that, it does state waterfront leaseholder and recreational boating representative. So I think that position is for either of those categories.
Any other questions for Chief McGrady?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I think perhaps the city underestimated the amount of work that comes out of this particular advisory board. And by taking any position out, that means they increase the work for everybody else. And so... Also, six is an even number. When you take a vote, you think about six.
All right. Yeah, it does change some of the dynamics, but fortunately, we've haven't had any mini split votes in the recent past. Any other questions? All right. With that, thank you, Chief McCrane.
Absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate the support.
Yeah, appreciate
and still around if you need me.
All right. You are welcome to leave now. I know you have another date. Thank you. With that, that's item B1. I don't know if there's any other public comment on that. Any other questions from the audience? I don't know, Director Munson, if you want to follow up with that or you want to pass and wait until next time.
I'll just say thank you for having me here. It's been great working with the staff. Chief McCrane did a great job of handing over the baton. And, I'm really excited to get to work on all the issues and challenges we got here. We've got a few, but we've got a great staff to deal with it. And I think based on my experience from 11 years at Port San Luis, I think I'm the right person for the job. So thank you for having me.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Director Munson. Let's see, open any public comment on item B1? AGP, is there anybody with their hands up?
Oh, we have no raised hands.
All right. With that, we'll close item B1. On to B2, which is the mooring field ad hoc that we've had. It's been open for quite some time. We finally got the white paper published. It's actually in the agenda item. It was presented basically to the Harbor Patrol supervisor. With that, I talked about it the last couple times. There's nothing really new to say. I don't know, Supervisor Becca or Kelly, if you have any comments on that, any concerns?
I just want to thank you for your work in putting this together and everyone that was involved in the ad hoc committee. It is a fluid environment out there, right? And with these, this winter, we will be analyzing some changes in the mooring field that were listed in your white paper as well. We have four moorings in the yacht club area that have a change in scope. We will also continue to look at the options in the future and involve maybe dredging in there as well, because I do think the shape of the bay has changed over time from what the designated mooring field initially was marked as. So there are thoughts for our future, but I'm here for more questions.
I do have one, and I'm going to probably defer the rest over to Gene, but the change in scope, has it had any noticeable impact or changes, or is it still too early to tell?
No issues on those moorings as of yet. We've had a couple different moorings so far that have had some issues, but not those that have the change in scope.
Assuming that we make it through the storm season, and if it's as aggressive as it was last year, is that something that might be, you know, standardized or be considered for a larger number of vessels or moorings?
Yeah, I've had already some other mooring owners request a change in their scope, and we could put some of that liability, you know, in the decision on them if we end up feeling comfortable and safe seeing what's happened after this winter.
As far as I know, again, I don't fully understand all the physics of it, but the biggest risk is those boats would be having more potential to move if they enter rough weather conditions. Is that the biggest issue with the shorter scope? I'm going to look to you, Gene.
I think most of the issues are when we have opposing wind and tide. It's not necessarily the size of the boat there, but it's the different configurations of the different types of boats. And I think we've pretty much sorted everything out. It's a empirical formula. That means the emperor decided that's what it's going to be. So I think it's going to work out this winter. We'll find out.
All right. That's all the questions I have. Anybody else have questions or comments? Gene, anything else? All right. Any questions from the audience about the mooring field? No? And then AGP, is there anything else? Anybody with their hands raised in the on the call?
No, I'm sorry. We do not have any raised hands.
Darn. With that, that's what I'll go ahead and close item B2. Last on the agenda is declaration of future agenda items. We've talked about most of these. Probably something that we'd look at next year after we meet again in February. We'll probably have some new ad hocs, hopefully some direction from the City Council. Sorry, are you going to be our liaison for next year, or has that been decided? Oh, yeah, I'm going to make you come up to the mic, Zara. Come on. I know.
Well, while we're waiting, I don't know. I got here a little bit late, a few minutes late, so I didn't know if you had mentioned that there's two seats up on the Harbor Advisory Board in January.
We didn't do the recruiting piece, so.
Okay. I thought I would just mention that.
Okay.
So that
you.
people
know.
Okay, yes, it is me. And I will. The seats that are available are the fishing seat as well as marine-related business, too.
All right, thank you. And do you know who will be the liaison for 2025?
She said her.
Oh, sure. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. I thought it was you. Okay, perfect. Thank you. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
I don't know if anybody else wants to put any future agenda items on. Again, we will be meeting again in February. I'll probably wait till then. Mm-hmm. All right. With that, I think the meeting is adjourned. Thanks, all.
see you at the yacht club Saturday.